to it. My will, or His will, or the will of the Father. He is giving them, in His own life as an example, the ultimate solution to the real problems that matter, which are not health care and, you know, in poverty, you know, we need the world hunger, because we'll always be. What they need is greater than this. They need to believe in their God and to Him. And they need to be like Jesus, who is setting the perfect example. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus will pray in the garden. But He's teaching that already right here. Faith is the solution. Believe in the will of God. Setting His will before mine. Choosing then to do what He asks of me rather than me asking anything of Him. Seeking to be a servant and not a comfortable Lord, some sort of prince or princess, see, that gets to wall around all day, free from the cares of the world. This is what they want. And this Jesus refuses to give them. The miracles, brief and passing away, were signs to point them in the direction of the will of some other, their Father, and now seen in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. At this point, Jesus has already rebuked them. He has a couple of times later to straighten them out. And now, far from relaxing or retreating or in any way trying to make things easier for them, He sort of ups the ante, if I could use, you know, a common term or profane one, in verses 40 through 51. Let's read these 12 verses. This is the will of my Father, that everyone beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. I myself will raise Him up on the last day. It is resurrection that matters. Had He fed them, had He clothed them, had He rained money down to heal their every problem, brethren, it would have had no impact on preventing death. Still they will die, though they eat His bread miraculously provided every day of their life, it would not extend their lives. Jesus looks beyond this earth to resurrection. And the Jews in 41 therefore grumble about it. Because He said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. They're saying, it's not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How does He now say, I've come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. And I, of course, He speaks of Himself. And so He says in 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Brethren, He just bores in on them. He challenges them with even more difficult information. Yes, He is living bread. Yes, He is eternal life. And yes, He must perish to provide it. He must be lifted up. He must be crucified. He must be put down into the tomb. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Only if they eat from the words of wisdom that He provides and then share by their actions, by their faith and service in that sacrifice on behalf of their sins. And He challenges them with even more difficult words to believe in Him. And then, in 51, if they didn't read 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. It gets more specific, more graphic, and it becomes more difficult to accept what he's saying. 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me shall also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the Father ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. Did you really think you would have said, oh, I did it okay in Ireland? Have you been in that crowd? Tummy full and distended from all the bread, leaving a basket full behind that you couldn't even eat. Do you really think you've done any better job than they did? Brother, we've had a lifetime of teachers and an entire New Testament explaining it all to us. So it's easy to think, well, you know, had I been there, I would have done a better job. Jesus is the most demanding individual who ever set foot on this earth. What he requires of us in the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood is that we participate entirely in both the things that he taught as well as the results that will flow from them, teaching us him to be selfless in our service of both God and of man, even if it should cost us our lives as he does him. Come now to the concluding verses in the story where Jesus will give them a key to success if they will only use it. Beginning in verse 59, he said these things in the synagogue, and he fought in Capernaum. By the way, there. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, it's a difficult thing. Who could listen to? Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this come to you, son? What then, if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. There are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you, no one can come to the Father unless it has been granted him from the Father. As I pointed out, that's true. It is to be taught from the Father to that word. And that in verse 63, his words are Spirit. They are life. Verse that is key. All things. If we would distinguish ourselves from that crowd, if we would separate ourselves from those who are faithful and selfish, and brethren, it would be only if we turn the key in the lock of our own hearts with God's Word each and every day as much as we can. These words are Spirit, they are life, they are truth, and they will keep us eternally in the presence of our Father. We will learn to feed on them, participate then in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus, brethren, is on the word that he taught to say we're not getting. Verse 66 to 71, I want you to understand, brethren, that the two are not directly related. Luke 15 didn't lead in John 6, and they weren't intended for us. It goes a little funny as if God wanted us to think in terms of, you know, these two need to be read together. But I observe how similar they are, and it is helpful to see how this is working right here. And Jesus was about to practice what he preached in the parable about the Father as he related to his wayward son. In verse 66, as a result of this, all these teachings, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus, therefore, said to the 12, yes, brethren, on the hillside or whatever, you see thousands of people, many came, and getting angrier and angrier and grumbling because he's asking so much for them to leave, not really focus on the spiritual side, and one by one, and then apparently in very large numbers, many are leaving. And you just see them walking away. And Jesus turns to his disciples in 67 and says to them, the one that was still yet hanging on, do you want to go away also? The captain, you know, in a graphic manner, you do not want to go away also, do you? The great challenge here is to realize that God will never lower his standards for us. And God is never going to say any obvious to him. And God is never going to reduce his requirements and make the way easier. They would have made him king the day before. He drove most of them away that next day. And the disciples themselves are now put to the test. So you want to go too? Because Jesus is not changing his doctrine. He is not changing what he expects of us. And Simon Peter, brethren, in verse 68, he got it. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered, we expect, oh, good for you, Peter. Did I myself not choose you the 12 and yet one of you is the devil? He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Brother John 6 is all about Jesus very firmly planting his feet and saying, you do it my way or you don't give it all. And it's hard. I'm going to ask a tremendous amount. I'm going to practice what I preach. And I'm going to let you lead me if you want to. I'm going to let you learn, like in the story of the prodigal, how desperately you need me, how empty life is without me. I will allow you to suffer until you learn that I am the bread of life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to go, go. But I'll be here when you are ready to realize your need. Resolve that you're going to forsake self to serve me and return in faith and service. Then I'll accept you like the prodigal father. My Father Jehovah God will accept you like the prodigal father if you will choose to serve us. The 50 better than me, and let them go to Father in Luke 15. Realizations of the Son as well. Are instructed in John chapter 6. And Jesus now just practices what he preaches. And now appeals to the scriptures with a name. Will you go thou and your likewise down the hill and not, you know, they go live life your own way, but rise to the challenge of scripture that he did, Lord, to whom shall we go? And words of eternal life. Today, brethren, is decision day for you. You didn't realize, yes, I've been ready to commit myself in faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, my Lord, regardless of what he might ask of me, or however high the price I might pay, however agonizing this service might be. For they have the words that eternal life, the grace and truth, and to choose this day to accept. If you made the day of salvation for you, if you would come forward and confess him and then be baptized for the remission of your sins, please let me know. It would be an allowance. If you help those of you who are already Christians, come in with prayer, a Bible study, come away, let us know, please.